anybody are loving Jesus this morning? Oh, that was a weak amen for Jesus. This is Jesus. Hello. That's some guy named Jesus. This is Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Goodness, goodness. Listen, before we get on any further, two things. Everyone say hi to my friend Tim on the front row. You see Tim? He's like, man, why is he all up in my space right now? He's all up in my space right now. But we're doing some things to update. You know, we're taking steps and updating our website and whatnot. So he's doing a lot of different videoing. So, you know, act like he ain't there. That's what I've been trying to do all morning. You know, just act like he's not there. You know, and a camera right there. I'm like, nah, you know. So praise the Lord. But he's a blessing. And also you look on my right, your left. See Gabby, his wife. She's a blessing. She's a blessing. She does all of our graphics at the church. And so, you know, she has an amazing eye. I just love it. It's a great pairing. And so, they're just being a blessing in the Family Worship Center. So thank you. Thank you. But, you know, we really do appreciate you guys. Listen, we're going to be dismissing our middle school Bible study Ignite at this time. And so, Ashley and Pete Liotta, they're awesome, 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 awesome individuals. We're so grateful for them. And so grades 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, we're going to be exiting at this time. And then God's got something for us here this morning. Can someone say amen? Thank you so much. Of all the great churches in the Halifax area, you chose Family Worship Center. Thanks so much for being here this morning. I believe God has got something for you. And I am just shocked. I did not even recognize Phil and Anthony. I was just like, my gosh, I remember when you were born. And now you tower your father. Are you taller than your father right now? Can you stand up? You mind? Just stand it. Come on, man. Oh, it's almost. Oh, my gosh. Remember when he was born? I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't even recognize him. It's amazing watching these guys grow up. And you know what? That just attributes to an awesome church. And I'm just not saying that because Kathy and I are the pastors. But, you know, we were also teenagers in the youth group. You know, we brought up in this church. You know, we went to Decision Youth Group as teenagers. We met in the youth group, you know, and then she chased me for years and years and finally, that's okay. All right. You can put a ring on it. And so, just teasing. She knows the truth. You know, I chased her for about, we dated off and on for 11 years. I chased her for about 9. And then she chased me the last 2. That's true. And so anyways, but so glad that you're here with us this morning. And listen, Grow 2 took place. Is anybody there? Grow 2 took place. First service, over in Suite 5. If you say, oh, my gosh, I forgot. It's okay. You can jump into Grow 3 next week. So simple. Grow is going to be continuing every month. And so, listen, you know, just jump right in. And how many were involved with small groups this week? Woo! Small groups started. So excited about summer small groups. And so, listen, if you're like, oh, I haven't been here the last couple weeks. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on. Summer small groups, listen, you can go to the hub. You can go to fwcpo.org, and you can look at the small groups that are available. There's 21, correct, Don? 21 small groups, and you can get involved, and we encourage you. They're only 6 weeks long. The summer session is shorter, and it's you know, you can get involved. You can be a part of it, and, you know, just get a little taste. Like I said, the summer sessions are like a little taste. You know, like, no, these guys are not Italian, but I remember when my father or my grandmother would be cooking that sauce, or my Aunt Carol cooking that sauce, and, you know, it's cooking all day. And you just want a little taste. Because you know it's coming. You just want a little taste of the goodness that's going to take place. And so that's what, like, to me, that's what, like, the summer sessions are like. And you know, I just encourage you to be a part of that in some way, shape, or form. And you can go to the hub and get a small group booklet. I'll get it out. And so, but anyways, praise the Lord. And then how many know what's next week? Father's Day. You're cheating. You were here for a service. And so, family. Anyways, yes, Father's Day is next week. And so we're going to honor fathers, honor dads. And so with that being said, you know, the ladies had Angel and Phelps chocolate covered strawberries. And these guys enjoyed them. you know, you guys were double-fisted walking out the doors and everything. But so for dads, we're going to follow suit like we did last year, and we're going to have chocolate-covered bacon for all the dads. Now, you may say, ew, like, I can live my life. I'm not a bacon lover, and I'm not a chocolate lover. I can live my life without eating a piece of chocolate the rest of my life. I could be happy. I'm a Swedish fish guy, okay? And so, but I tell you what, last year I tried that, and I was like, oh, my gosh, it was so good. So that's why we're going to do it again for all the men in the house. Just want to honor you, appreciate you for being a father, for being a dad. And we're going to honor all the men. So next Sunday for Father's Day. And so not only today are we honoring the grads, but also it's what the church world recognizes as Pentecost Sunday. Did anyone realize that? That today is Pentecost Sunday, and we'll be celebrating, how many were here at the beginning of the service with the opening video, right? And it alluded to Pentecost Sunday. And so before we get into this, I'm definitely going to do not what I did. I'm going to go with Spirit of God had, I believe, for this service this morning. If you weren't here at the first service, you missed it because this was a totally different message. And so, and like, oh my gosh, I didn't know. Well, you know, it's okay. You know, God wants you to hear this one, okay? And so, you know, we're going to pray and get started. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father God, that this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice. We choose to rejoice. We make a decision to rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, we thank you that we come into this place to be, not to be entertained, but to be drastically changed in your presence, Father God. And I thank you that every single person that walks out of this place will have a closer relationship with you, no matter where they're at in their walk with you. But they will be drawn closer to you because we lift up the name of Jesus. We're all men. We draw unto him. We desire to lift up your name this morning, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church family said, amen, amen. Listen, Pentecost Sunday. A couple things that just an understanding, and I thought this would be a great year and time to focus on it because it marks, you know, 50 days after Easter. Can you really imagine that it's been only 50 days since Easter? It seems like a lot longer to me. It seems like months and months and months that Easter has been here. But it's 50 days. It marks 50 days after Easter, after Jesus rose from the dead. It's 7 Sundays. It's always 7 Sundays, no matter where those huckleberries put Easter every year. It's always at a different place. It's always at a different, you know, here and there, and it messes everyone's calendars up. But it's always 7 Sundays after that. And basically Easter and 7 Sundays, it's also regarded as the birthday of the Christian church. It marks the day the church got its start of its mission. You think about that for a second. The mission of loving God and loving people. You know, but most of all, it celebrates the gift of the Holy Spirit being given to God's children, which is pretty amazing. The Holy Spirit is awesome. God has given us the Holy Spirit and power. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, reading out of the ESV translation, this is where we're getting this from. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, look at your neighbor, say, suddenly. You know I'm going to do this. Look at your other neighbor, say, other neighbor. You're my second choice. Suddenly. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me just stop right there. All. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Not some of them. Not, I don't know what happened, I just didn't get it. No, the Bible says all. All means all, right? Doesn't mean 70%, that means all. No, all means all, you know? And so they were all filled as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's skip down to verse 16. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. All people. All means all, right? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Praise the Lord. I am still seeing visions. You know, anybody else still seeing visions? You know, no? Okay. All right, so everyone else is dreaming. So, okay. So, but today's the title of today's message, honestly, is be all that you can be in Christ. Now, how many remember that slogan from the 80s? Be all that you can be, right? And there's the army had that slogan. Remember that, right? Well, in the 80s and of all time, that specific slogan, from any slogan previous or even after to this date has never, ever, ever moved people to the point where they have the highest registered people volunteering, coming in and wanting to be a part of the military. The highest during this slogan, during this time. You know, they had this, it was a call to mobilize. It was a call to do your part. It was a call to make a difference. It was a call to represent the greatest country on the planet. USA, USA, right? My prayer today is that this, what you hear, what we talk about today, would be a call to everyone here at Family Worship Center. Acts chapter 1, we're going to go to verse 8. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, this is talking about the ascension, you know, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And then you go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. You know, it's so cool because, like, this is Mark's version of the ascension of Jesus. You know, after Jesus rose from the dead, he was on earth 40 days. And he ate with them. It wasn't like a spirit and everything. He ate. He was hungry. He ate with them. He spent time with them. And I love it because it's almost like one of the things I loved about, like, the Rocky movies or the Back to the Future trilogy is, like, they always started the second one or the third one where the previous one left off, right? And so that was iconic, you know, back when Rocky came out. Like, what? They actually started where they left off, you know? And so this is how this lays out right now, because, you know, we're skipping here. We're starting with the back end first, because there's Acts chapter 1, verse 6. But now we're going to go over to Mark's perception, Mark's rendition of this, Mark chapter 16, 15 through 18. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up a serpent with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And it's not the whole snake holding thing. That's not what we're talking about, you know, and everything. And just understand that this is what Jesus said before he ascended. This is Mark's rendition, Mark's version. And that we are, you know, Jesus said, going back, it says, you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Then Mark says, and he said, then go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. The Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit as a part of your everyday life, is the plan that Jesus had for us. It is God's divine appointment. Having the Holy Spirit as a part of our daily life isn't supposed to be scary. It really isn't. It's not supposed to freak us out. It isn't. Please understand this morning. You cannot understand what the Holy Spirit is going to do until you first know who He is. I'll say that again. You cannot understand what the Holy Spirit is going to do until you first know who He is. What He does is literally just a fruit of who He is. So many of us within the church world, so many of us in church, we are seeking what He does more than seeking who He is. That answers the question, the lifelong question that for the past 28 years, this will be 29 years of Camp Decision, of different youth pastors saying, you know, having that struggle, and some of you may have experienced that with your own teenager when they go to a camp, they go to a conference, maybe you've experienced it, you know, you go to, a big church event, and you have this encounter with God, and this incredible time with God, the Holy Spirit, and then afterward, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, I want that feeling again, I want that sensation again, I want that experience again, but we're looking for what the Holy Spirit does rather than in between those events seeking who He is, because when we seek who He is, it maintains us. It levels us. It nurtures us. And we don't go from event to event. We don't go from goosebump to goosebump. Because having a lifestyle, an everyday lifestyle with God, the Holy Spirit, is supposed to be something that is supposed to be a part of a child of God's everyday life. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the divine Trinity. And you notice I've been referencing Him as a He. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a He. He's not a mythical, mystical. He's not a vapor. He's not weird. He is a person. He's not a dictator. He will not ever force you or I to do anything. He's a gentleman. He is a person. And this might blow your mind a little bit. He is a person more than He is a presence. His presence is the tangible indication that His person is in your midst. And that's what we call the anointing. When you seek His person, you'll always have the manifestation of His presence. Because I believe with all my heart, you'll be in more tune with Him in your everyday life. So when we're more tune with Him in our everyday life, in every aspect, when we go grocery shopping, when we're at work, when you take out the trash, when you're at school, when you're working in your marriage with your spouse, when you're working with your relationship with your children, even when you're on summer vacation, when we wash the car, when we walk the dog, even when we're in line at the post office, if we're listening, there's always someone, there's always something that the Holy Spirit will be leading, guiding, and directing us. But it's about being in tune with Him. Recognizing His voice. Why does God the Holy Spirit care about those things? What does it matter when we're walking the dog, or washing the car, mowing the lawn? Why does it matter? Because somebody's life could be at stake. I'll give you a little example. Pastor Kathy and I were in a heated discussion. Okay. And so we were in a heated discussion one time coming home. Actually, I think maybe the boys were in the car. I'm not sure if all three kids were in the car. But we were pulling in the driveway. And we were, you know, it was an argument, but we were getting passionate about what we were saying. And soon as we pulled in, we noticed our neighbor across the street. And, you know, if you know him, you know, he's just, you know, he's out there trying to dig something. And he was out, you know, and he was just, you know, he's out there and he's all bandaged up and he shouldn't be out there. And immediately, it was just like immediately, we didn't ask each other. We both got out of the car. We both saw it. Swear to God, we're saying, go over there and show him love. Go over there and get his back, literally, you know. And we walked, and we didn't even ask each other. We didn't even say, hey, let me think we should go over and talk to Logan. No, we just automatically, Spirit of God spoke to both of us. We walked right over, didn't even, through our, whatever we were discussing off to the side. And we went and we were there and we talked with him. We ministered to him. We encouraged him, you know. And you know what? That was, I mean, we just were driving home from wherever we were coming from. God, the Holy Spirit wants to, desires to be involved in your everyday life. See, if we're in tune with the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives, one of the reasons Jesus had ascended to heaven is so that he, the Holy Spirit, can come down. It was the gift that he spoke of in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, Mark 16, 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I mean, we declared in 2019 that 2019 is the year of overflow in life, in community, and the world. And you know what? How do we walk that out in our lives? How do we do that? By, you know what? Having a relationship with God, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In every single thing, every aspect of our lives, He wishes to guide your steps. He wishes to give you heavenly insight into things that you could be. He wants you to avoid those heartaches, avoid that bad decision, avoid that argument that you were supposed to have, but the Holy Spirit could say, no, behold your tongue. Oh, no, you know, pull back. No, don't choose that battle. That's not it. I mean, just so much that he desires to be involved in your life. We just have to surrender and allow him to. It's up to us. Again, he's not a dictator. He'll never force himself on us. What's stopping people about telling others about Jesus in their everyday life? What's stopping you from picking up this little invite card that we've had for months? They're all around. What's stopping you from taking one of these things and listening to your heart? Who needs a touch from God? You know, one of the biggest responses, one of the biggest answers to why people don't do that is because they say, I just don't know who to give it to. Who would I give it to? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Oh, and the second one is, I'm scared. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He'll give you the boldness that you need. See, the Holy Spirit desires to be a part of our lives. I say making the Holy Spirit as a part of our everyday life is the way to know who to give an invite to. Is the way to know who to say. If you're walking through Publix, walking through Walmart, walking through Target, wherever you shop. And you're walking down the water aisle or the produce aisle, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit quickens you to bless that person with $20 or to go over and say, hey, I just wanted God encouraged me to tell you he loves you no matter what. I'm telling you, those moments get people's attention. Because if God tells you, God puts that on your heart, he's dead on. I've seen it time and time again in my life. Where God stretches me and I do that. You think, oh, it's easy for you. You're the preacher man. You know, no. When God tells even me, I'm like, oh, my heart's beating. Blah, 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 oh, my gosh. But I do it. I go. And then, you know what? Really, after a while, it gets easier and easier and easier. Because it's really all about trusting Him. See, making the Holy Spirit as a part of your everyday life is a way to know who to proclaim the gospel to. Making the Holy Spirit as a part of your everyday life is a way to know who to pray for. So on this day, what the church world calls Pentecost Sunday, celebrating the relationship of the Holy Spirit and really the start of the mission of the church of loving God and loving people. Because Jesus said, go out into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Go, 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 He said. We don't have to be, you know, praise God for Brendan. He's going YWAM. He's going, some individuals are called to go out, you know, on a foreign soil. But if, you know, you don't have a call, to go out on foreign soil, guess what? Your mission field is your grocery store, is the post office, it's the flea market. Amen. Hallelujah. It's wherever you go, that's your mission field. But we have to see it that way. God has given us more than eternal life. He's given us the gift of and a relationship with the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives to empower us to do what He's called us to do. As Mary and the music ministry come up, my favorite scripture, and you've heard me say this a million times, this is my number one favorite scripture. I read this in a book that I've given this book away. The number one book I've given away, two books I've given away, close to like triple digits now. How to Be Led by the Spirit of God by Kenneth E. Hagin. That book transformed my life when I read that book. And I did everything I possibly could to take what was in that book and apply it to my life, my everyday life. Not when I'm behind a microphone, but when I used to manage an Outback Steakhouse, when I used to wait tables in Tulsa, and I used to say, God, I'm practically in the weeds right now, and the owner wants me to go get something. And I know if I go get this, the one thing that I'm not, no one knows. He doesn't even know where it is in a walk-in cooler. I don't even know where this is. I'm about to go in the weeds. Holy Ghost, point me to the right direction. So simple. In my heart, I just heard, walk into the walk-in cooler. Go all the way to the right. Move whatever it was, mayo, or move that thing, and then there it will be. There's the horseradish. That simple, that crystal clear. Where I walked up, walked right in, moved whatever I had to move, there it was, in the giant walk-in cooler. Tell you what, God, the Holy Spirit cares about every little thing about your life. It's just whether we just allow Him. And what that does is that develops that relationship. You recognize His voice. It's undeniable. Not just when you're behind a microphone. Not just when you're in a church service. But when you are walking out your everyday life. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth and show you things to come. He will help guide your steps. He will help you with those decisions in your life. He will help you with those business decisions. He will help you with all aspects of your life. Because Jesus gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit to navigate through our life here on earth. But it's not just to have a life of overflow. It really isn't. But He, the Holy Spirit, will lead us, guide us, and show us how to impact those this community. It's bigger than you and me. To impact their eternity. To impact their life here on earth. To introduce them to hope, love, and acceptance. His name is Jesus. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit helps us lead people to God through relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's pretty amazing when you think about how the Trinity works together. We need to understand the role and the impact, how to impact mankind. Today, make the decision to be all that you can be for Christ. This is a call for you today to mobilize, a call to do your part, a call to make a difference, a call to represent the greatest kingdom in existence, the kingdom of God.